This is the Day Zero Update for March 10th, 2019. I'm Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Brandon Parkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Daniel Victoria.
And it's one of those weeks. We're technically doing the show at the proper time of 2 p.m. Eastern. Unfortunately, that time moved because we have this time zone thingy shifts every couple of times a year for no apparent reason.
Yeah, that we all just collectively got up one day and decided, hey, we should lose an hour of sleep. That would be fun.
Yeah.
So, let's see what that does.
Yeah.
This was especially fun because I was up at about 1:30. And then next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock. And it's like, oh, my computers are conspiring against me.
It's like, fuck. Yeah.
Well, being up, okay, time to be late, then to, oh, shit, I need to get to bed.
Yeah. So that's been great. And it's especially great this weekend for me because I haven't been feeling that well. So this is going to be a very interesting show. I cannot guarantee that there will not be projectile vomiting during the show. So look forward to that, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Hooray.
Yay.
I mean, normally I'm really prepared for this stuff, but I don't know. Not this year. Also, I'm pretty sure we voted against it, but you know, we got to wait. So
yeah, the government doesn't move very quickly. So yeah. What if that part position, you know, kind of went through, it's still going to take months for it to get anywhere. So lovely. But yeah, so I guess we've been doing some stuff this week, and I'll start us off with what I've been playing. And Doom stuff, still doing that. Getting into some actual scripting now. This is proving to be a very interesting project, because wow. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming when you're just faced with a whole bunch of stuff that you want to do and then not knowing how to do it. You just have to like chip away at it and find out how to do one thing, and then that leads to something else, and pretty soon you're doing cool stuff in the map that you didn't think you could do. So that's fun. Mm-hmm. So that's been good. I've also been playing some DOA 6. Mostly online, to be honest, which is kind of weird for me because I usually don't play games online too much. But DOA 6 kind of reminds me of like when I used to play online fighting games a lot. It's still great. What I particularly like is that nobody bothers putting a mic on, so that's great. You don't actually have to talk to anybody.
That's great.
Yeah, so no prepubescent teenagers
Racial slurs at you.
Yeah, don't have to hear that. So that's actually been very good. We have this in the news, but I've been playing the original Diablo because it came out on GOG. So that came out for $10, and it's the original Diablo, just kind of working on Windows 10. So that's a plus. Plus, you can play it at more than 20 frames per second, which is very nice. Or if you like it at 20 frames per second, you could play it that way too. So that's dumb, but hey, if that's how you want to play it, you can do that. I should probably mention also, since we're already on the subject, that this is the first of several games, several of Blizzard's old games that are going to be making it to GOG. Next one will be Warcraft 1. And then Warcraft 2, and probably other ones after that. So, it's I like that we're finally going to get these old games back. I have the CDs for most of them, but trying to actually get them to run on Windows 10 is a pain in the ass. So, yeah, for $10, it's worth picking up. Hopefully, they'll do Diablo 2 and make that run better than it normally does, because that'd be great.
No, I think the rumor is that they're going to be just remaking it.
Well, I'd be up for that too. Diablo 2 is definitely worth a remake.
I'm guessing if I don't have any nostalgia for Diablo, I should not bother with it. For that old of a Diablo game.
Probably not, because as the gameplay, you can kind of see the origins of everything that's come after it. But you also see all of the jank that went along with it. So yeah, it's, I mean, if you want to do something that's kind of historic, then it still holds up in that regard because it's still a fun game to play. You're just going to be doing a lot of like, well, why doesn't it do this? And why don't items stack up and stuff like that,
Yeah.
so yeah,
I'm guessing maybe just wait, see whatever they're gonna do with Diablo 2.
I hope they do a full remaster. Well, actually, full remake. That would be nice. On the get with all of the characters from the expansion and stuff in there too. That'd be cool too.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of been my week. How about you, Brandon?
Well, I've been playing Anthem mostly. Well, before that we had to get our Wi-Fi and router replaced because it started decaying a couple weeks ago and became highly unregular. And finally, we had to get some people from Cox Communications out here to come and fix stuff. But now that that's happened, I have not had a single connection issue since.
Yeah, that's a good, and you sound good, so that's nice.
So I've been able to get further in Anthem now than I have been in the last couple of weeks. Still loving it, still a good game, still a lot of fun. Really, the only issue I have right now are the load screens. There is a lot of loading time in that game. But the thing is though, growing up gaming in the 90s, I think I just kind of grew immune to it. After a while. But I haven't got been kicked out of the game or anything like that since. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And other than that, yeah, I'm also playing Dead or Alive 6. I finished the story mode. At least I think I did.
Because you run into a situation like I did where you don't have any more things to do, but there are giant gaps
Yeah.
in the
Which makes me think that there's probably some story DLC or something coming along at some point.
Probably.
'Cause yeah, like there's whole sections that are completely blank. So yeah, but it's very much a Dead or Alive game. Gameplay wise, they've made it a bit easier for newcomers to access. Because I mean, and you've played the last few DOA games, it started to get a little too complicated for its own good, so they kind of streamlined some things.
Five, the systems that they added in 5, I don't think really added much to the game. They just overcomplicated it. They seem to have like replaced most of those into something that's actually like usable.
Yeah, and it actually, the combos are a little easier to pull off now. However, some of the other stuff like string together throws, not as easy. The timing on those is really weird. Like I've tried it over and over again in the tutorial, and it was just, yeah, it just it's kind of hard to pull off. Also, Rido is a cheap bastard.
You think?
Rido has the two biggest FU moves in the whole game. He's the only character that has a projectile attack, for one, and it's a projectile attack that knocks off like a third of your health bar. And two, he does that thing where he turns the entire screen dark for 3 seconds. So screw him.
Yeah, he's a boss character, but yeah, you
And
run into
all
him in
and
the
that's the
story.
thing about those three about these like old school 3D fighters. The boss character is always the one with the bullshit OP move. In Tekken 2 it was Devil Kazuya with that stupid eye laser move of his. The new character Nico, she's pretty badass. She's got a pretty nice set of moves. Also, because people want to know, because it is a DOA game, yeah, the fan service is still there. It's just they kind of push it to the side so that it's something that you can do if you want.
Yeah.
You know, the old school costumes and stuff are still there.
Yeah, but you have to unlock them now.
Yeah. So. And the jiggle physics are still there. It's just more, you know, natural looking.
Yep.
Overall, good game. I have been finding it weird, though, because the online gaming critics really don't know how to approach this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on how I'm even going to write this review, because I can review the marketing, and it would get probably a 1.5 star.
Yeah.
Or I could review the game, and it would get a 4 star.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, to say, well, at least. Yeah, but anyway, that's what I've been playing. So, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I got my new PS4 hard drive installed in the internal one.
So you've been playing Let's Download All the Things?
Yep.
Like half the things, because I had a bunch of it on my external, which I really need to go through and put my more important stuff on that thing. Instead of just like, here's everything that could install in the internal. but it includes most of my big stuff. But yeah, it's been actually nice kind of having a little bit of a ability to kind of rethink what I'm actually going to put on it.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, because you get to that point where you're looking at like things to delete to free up space. And you're like, well, that's 2 gigs. It's not worth it. That sort of stuff. So now I can be like, oh man, that's, I don't know that I need that on there right now.
Yeah.
Rethink it a little bit. But yeah, I got all my VR stuff downloaded on there. So that's all set. But I'm just going through the rest of it. And this would actually be the perfect time to do my Rock Band challenge. Where essentially I start downloading and I have probably at least like 750 songs and see how long it takes to get through all those notifications. I'm going to start downloading all those. Because it's like a good 10 seconds or 5 to 10 seconds somewhere around there.
Yeah.
For it to be like, hey, this has started downloading. Hey, this thing started downloading. And I want to see how much, what I can do with that time. Maybe that'll be a stream or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that'll be fun. And yeah, I've been doing some more streaming. I did one on Tuesday and played some Assassin's Creed Odyssey since that whole Ubisoft has a big sale going on. And that game keeps getting cheaper. Like it's $33. PS Plus for the Gold Edition, which includes all the DLC and the remaster of AC3 and Liberation, which itself is going to be sold for $40 standalone. And the game itself is still quite good, though. The part I was at was a bit weird because I was. You basically find out this guy has been helping you is basically a shit stain. And so you're trying to go kill him. And once you get outside of the first little encounter with his guards, as he tries to stab you in the back, essentially, it's like, hey, go find him. Like, how? There's no information I have. And the neat things they give you two quests when you're going over this area. So it's like, well, you go do the other one, and then that eventually leads back to it. And now I found out there's this whole cult that is trying to take me out. And one of the neat things that can kind of happen is there are definitely areas where they're kind of like outposts in Far Cry, which is like, you should go here, kill all the enemies, and loot all the stuff that's there. And occasionally you just stumble upon these, and I'm like, okay, I'll just do this now. And then I went back on the quest and eventually led me back to this house because the one of the big people I need to talk to that is being partially or at least mostly like controlled by this cult, she's sort of held captive by them, and I go over there and it's like, well, they're all dead, so I can just go talk to her. It's like, don't have to do any of the combat. And again, it doesn't respawn people there, which is pretty nice. And it's like, oh, I saved my future self some time by just killing all these people. So yeah, that game. Oops.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that game is pretty good. But also been playing some more Rocket League as the Battle Pass season is about to end on the 18th. And this weekend they have a double XP weekend, so I'm getting tons of XP out of it. Basically getting about 10,000 XP per match if all things go well, especially if I get a win. And that is about a good maybe 55-60% of a level. So I get two good matches in, and I go up a level, which gets me some more stuff. And I decided to start playing one of the other competitive playlists, which is the Team 3v3, which allows people on either team to be in parties, essentially, whereas the one I was playing before was essentially 3v3, but it's all solo people. Which ended up leading to me just playing with not great players. And so kind of losing a lot more often just because people don't know how to be good goalies or stay at the goal to make sure the ball doesn't go in. They decide to prioritize their own needs of boost or whatever, which can be hilarious when I... And one of the people rushing for the ball at the start of a new play, and I miss, and the guy just hits the ball straight down the field and goes right into the goal because the goalie decided he didn't need to watch out for this. Some stupid stuff like that. But now I'm playing in this team 3v3, winning a lot more. I'm actually higher ranked. I am in gold league versus bronze in the other one. So it's just a lot more fun experience so far. So I may not go back to the other one. I'm working towards kind of confirming my higher tier in the competitive so that I get better rewards when the season ends, which usually isn't anything major. It's usually like the same kind of item, just different flourishes on them. But otherwise, yeah, that game still is great. Definitely put more time into that as of late. And I started checking out some of the new Game Pass stuff on Xbox, which includes Shadow of the Tomb Raider they put on a few weeks ago, which recently they put in new reward quests, which have gotten rid of some of the annoying stuff they've been doing lately. Where it's been kind of focused on you playing certain games and getting specific achievements. Which if you've already been playing those games and have them, you're screwed out of those quests. Which is not fun. There was one that was like three racing games that they had in there. I think Forza, Rocket League, and Grip. And they were all very easy ones. So I already had them, having played them before. No way to get any of that stuff. And so this month, they decided to be smart and basically just require you to get a few achievements in each game that they highlight, which is Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Hellblade, and After Charge. And so I played some Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and it's not great. It kind of surprisingly actually looks pretty good. The environment design looks really good.
Yeah,
but Lara Croft is an asshole. She at the beginning of this game, you get through like the first big the temple you get through, and essentially she causes the apocalypse because she realizes she's holding, looking at this like key knife that is related to the Mayan god of destruction and creation. And if you have the key, you need the box that goes with it, or else the apocalypse happens. And so she ends up getting caught by the bad guy, sort of getting out of here. Drops the knife, so she essentially gives it to the evil corporation that she's been fighting against, and also just causes the apocalypse as the tsunami hits this town. And basically, as soon as she meets up with Jonah, her buddy, her like tomb raiding buddy, and she's basically hysterical, like, we gotta go to the next place because I gotta stop this. And he's all, yo, we gotta help these people because you fucked up. It's not always about you. And yeah, she's just a huge asshole. And then you get on a plane to go to the next area, and the whole Lost thing happens, where there's a big storm that happens and causes the plane to go down. And he is conveniently in the second half of the plane that gets ripped apart from the front half where she's at. And then you crash land and all that. Now I'm kind of in that part where I'm. Also, I lost all the like crafting materials and such I collected up till then. They just sort of reset you. You have no knife, no bow, no any of that stuff. So you kind of just get Metroided. And so I'm working my way back to that. And then I got to my first base camp after leveling up a bunch, because if you get the all like secret collectibles and such, you get XP for that. So I was starting to upgrade some of that stuff, and I noticed the outfits. They have similarly that RE2 has like PS1 style outfits for the characters. There, Claire and Leon makes them look like PS1 models. They have the same thing in Shadow of the Tomb Raider. With her having, there's one for Angel Darkness, so kind of a PS2 level model, and two PS1 level models. One that is, I think, from Tomb Raider 1 and one from Tomb Raider 2. And so I was playing with that, and it looks really stupid. Intentionally stupid, but I've been running to cutscene areas where she's like talking, but it's a PS1 face, so it's not doing any animation, mouth animation, or anything like that. Which, yeah, I was watching Giant Bomb play through RE2, and she had that on for the last bit for Claire. And there's all these real serious, scenes with other characters, where she's like talking to the kid, and it pans back to Claire, and she's dead faced, PS1 thing. And it's like, you're just underdoing all of the story stuff they've been trying to build up here, and it's hilarious. So that's probably the best thing about it, is having this stupid character model and having her find. So I got the bow and the knife back, or a new bow and knife that looks hilarious when she tries to put it on her blocky model, because it was obviously designed for a normal character, not a monstrosity such as this. But that's probably been the best part. And yeah, I might play some more. I don't know, but I got my the couple achievements I needed for that quest, so that's at least it I'm going to be playing for now. But I just started the download for Just Cause 4, which was annoying because the Xbox One OS just did its normal thing, where I was freeing up space and it refused to acknowledge it. So I had to restart it, and it's like, oh, hey, you got this much. It's like, oh, okay. And yeah, I'm gonna. The weird thing is, like, once I got to about gig download, it was like, hey, it's ready to start. I'm like, wow, that's quick. I go start it up. It's just the logo. It's like, we're installing. I'm like, what the fuck is the point of this? You can't do anything.
Yeah, Square Enix is really bad for that.
Like, I
Mafia
get
3
the.
is the same way.
Yeah, it's like at least do it halfway through where you can like maybe get a little like sandbox you can blow up or something. But yeah, that was kind of annoying. But I also got Crackdown 2. I started downloading that. It took a while for me to find it because they don't surface it anywhere on the dashboard that thing is out and free.
Yeah, thanks.
So I looked on the new games, like, well, it's new. Should be under here. It's like, no, nothing there. I went and looked at the backwards compatible list on there, which is not in any order that a human being would use. And so I couldn't find it on there. I was like, oh, fuck, I'll just search it. So I typed in Crackdown. That was the last item on there. Like, Game Pass was the first thing that showed up. And, like, the different flavors of Crackdown 3 and the original Crackdown and some movie. Yeah. It has nothing to do with any of it. And it's like, oh, Crackdown 2. Okay, finally I can get this stupid thing.
Yeah. It's almost like they don't want to acknowledge it exists.
Yeah, they built a good OS for that. It makes it hard to find things.
Yeah.
Even if you go directly to the areas where it should be at.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be downloading at some points, but... that really should have come out earlier before Crackdown 3 launched. Some people are going to be like, well, at least it's not Crackdown 2.
Yeah. Well, now people can play this and go, actually, Crackdown 3 is not so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, fuck this Mario Day thing.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo has their own, like, corporate holiday intended to get you to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got, like, deals on the Switch itself and also on a handful of Mario games. I think it's Mario Party, Tennis, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and Odyssey. The weird thing is those are all codes that you can buy at any of the retailers, but it's not on sale in the eShop. So there's a digital sale that's only at
physical retailers, locations, yeah,
or the websites. You can get them off there too, but some of the retailers sold out of their codes, I guess. And others, it glitched out and doesn't show it anymore as a discount. I don't know, I ended up picking up Mario Kart 8, but fuck this stupid holiday Nintendo's weird way they handle sales. They can't just put stuff on sale like a normal company.
Yeah.
Because I think I was looking at it for last year. They put 8 games on sale. Once each. So if you missed whatever they were on sale, well, see you next year. And this year, they kind of started off pretty good with, I think, like 5 was on sale for like their New Year's sale. And if Mario Kart 8 went on sale again for this Mario holiday, that would have been the first time they had a game go on sale twice in 1 year. Which is a crazy stat they could have had. But nope. Don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about more about Nintendo shortly. Because, yeah, they've been in this.
Yep. How about you, Dan Rep?
Yeah, got a couple codes last week. First one was Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove. Mind you, I never played any of the previous games, so I never really knew exactly what I was getting into. For the most part, it's pretty much a love letter to the 90s. Toe Jam and Earl very much look like Nicktoons, and the art style and the dialogue, all that stuff is psychedelic. It's fantastic. It's really easy to get into. But as far as the gameplay goes, honestly, I don't really care for it. It pretty much patterns itself like a procedural roguelike, except you don't really fight anything. You're just avoiding monsters and trying to find an exit to the level. And that's pretty much it. You find yourself shaking bushes, getting these gifts that give you random power-ups, and yeah, all you're really doing is exploring and finding a way to get out.
And yeah, that's exactly like the original.
That's what it is. Well, why does it have this widespread appeal? I don't get it.
Because I think it's a game that you could that didn't try to kick your ass all the time.
Yeah,
that was rare back in that day. So it was kind of a laid back game, and it was co-op. It actually had like the dynamic split screen stuff way before anybody else did it. And it was just, yeah, it was kind of a game that stood out because it was had a really nice style to it, especially kind of embracing hip hop in the early 90s that not much else did.
Yeah.
And
It definitely still does that. Like, it's yeah, everything you mentioned is fully accurate. The co-op is okay for what it is, but like I played with a friend who had the exact same opinion. So yeah, it's fun, but I don't see myself playing this for another few hours. I put like 3 hours into it. I think I actually did finish it. So yeah, expect a review on it soon. I also got my hands on Ape Out, which was published by Devolver Digital. This game has been in development for a whole bunch of years, but I think it was just trying to find a publisher. Anyway, the game is pretty much Hotline Miami, except you use an ape to wreak havoc, if you will. And the game is super stylistic, which is the thing I love most about it. Every movement you make comes with some sort of percussive background noise, and it just goes well with the music. And when you're halfway done through a level, it goes, all right, cool. Side A is done. Time to do side B. And it has this weird filter effect that makes it look like an old Technicolor movie, yet at the same time like retaining style to make it look good in the HD era. The most of the gameplay is done with one button. Yeah, you move around with the left stick, and then you can either grab enemies and throw them, or just throw them into a wall and leave them in a bloody mess. And it's a whole lot of fun. It's probably like one of the best games I've played this year. So yeah, really love it. I also got back into Kingdom Hearts 3 last night because for now I am avoiding Anthem with all the news about it breaking systems, because I have a rare PS4 and I don't want that to break. That would ruin me.
Yeah.
So
That's understandable, but I mean, I haven't had any issues, so.
I did have that issue where it pretty much reset my system in a way that it told me that I unplugged it.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I just want to be careful and wait for all those things to subside before I get back into it, because I did have a lot of fun, as you guys remember from my last time I was here.
Yeah,
Anyway,
I
with
don't
Kingdom
think it was
Hearts.
actually breaking anything. It was just kind of putting it in a weird state where you had to kind of rebuild, go into safe mode and rebuild the database or something like that.
Yeah. But there were a few instances I read where someone with one of the Call of Duty PS4s had theirs break. I don't know. It's just a scary thought, and I
Yeah.
don't want to have
And
that
that stuff
happen.
could just be weird coincidence that their system was on its last legs anyway or something like that.
Yeah.
And just need something to give it a little push.
Still though, it's bad. Like that kind of stuff shouldn't be happening. It's just not happening with Xbox, so why is it happening with PS4? But yeah. As far as Kingdom Hearts 3 goes, I just finished the Caribbean world, which I'm thankful for because I absolutely hated every minute of it. I don't know what's next, but we'll see. I just did some of the cooking mini games, which are rather fun once you figure them out.
Yeah.
And yeah, aside from that, it's Tetris 99, game of the year.
Yep.
Tetris Battle Royale. Yeah.
We laugh, but that might end up being the case.
It really might.
Yeah,
So.
they got a weird thing going on where they're having like a special, like promotional tournament, I guess. It's not really a tournament. It's basically you can get 999 gold coins, My Nintendo Gold Coins,
Yeah.
if you like finish in like the top 999 people during this event,
Oh.
which is all based on winning. So if you can't win, you have no chance.
Yeah. Joy.
It's like the last couple times I played, I got wrecked pretty quickly. Now,
But
so.
your moms might win, so you might want to try handing the switch off to your mom and see how it goes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, some of them, some of those moms are they're pretty badass at Tetris. So, yeah. Or get to know Joseph Seeley, and he'll just wreck everybody.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to pluck this from the middle of the lineup because it's a follow-on to what we talked about last week regarding THQ Nordic, and they're doing a stupid. So the CEO kind of came out and did an apology, and then that's about it.
His letter was basically, I can read it real quick. This letter is to offer my sincerest apologies and deep regret for THQ Nordic GmbH Vienna's interaction with the controversial website 8chan last February, or last Tuesday, February 26th. I condemn all unethical content this website stands for, even if no one within THQ Nordic Group would ever endorse such content. I realize simply appearing there gave an implicit impression that we did. As co-founder and group CEO of THQ Nordic AB, I take full responsibility for all of THQ Nordic GmbH's actions and communications. I have spent the past several days conducting an internal investigation into this matter. I assure you that every member of the organization has learned from this past week's events. Take this matter very seriously, and we will take appropriate action to make sure we have the right policies and systems in place to avoid similar mistakes in the future. As a Swedish-based, fast-growing group, we firmly support equality and diversity. We are also working actively to combat discrimination, harassment, and misconduct. We're already in the process of developing new work processes based on the United Nations SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, and using the GRI, Global Reporting Initiative standards, and we will accelerate this work going forward.
So that's a thing. So that's their response. Just very full of corporate speak and a little else. Doesn't look like anybody actually got fired.
At least not publicly, which is what they needed to do if they wanted to make sure people know they are serious about it.
Especially since you look at some of the like the transcripts and stuff that came out of that thing, and it's very clear that they actually did know what they were getting into. So yeah, it's not a good look for them. This doesn't help them in any way, to be honest.
Have done a good job of alienating fans and their developers.
So
Which is the two
that's
people they
awesome.
need to do anything.
So, yeah,
What
2019.
did they hope to accomplish?
I have no idea.
Like, the more I think about it, the less this makes sense.
Like, in the best possible scenario, it would be, hey, we're doing something weird and quirky. Check it out. We don't know why we're doing this.
I think that may actually be how it started. And then, well, but it might have been like one of the bad apples of the company, like actually pitched this, and then the rest of the folks just went along with it because they didn't really know what they were getting into. But
Yeah, definitely their PR director came up with this
yeah.
idea.
So, well, I can't really. Well, fortunately, I can't really see too many THQ Nordic games. That I'm actually looking forward to, apart from Biomutant, so
Yeah.
that's
The only
irritating.
one I have on my plate as far as the whole THQ Nordic brand is Shenmue 3, which is Deep Silver. But I already gave them my money, so. And that was before Deep Silver got involved, so.
Well, come to think of it, the Bloodstained, I backed that, and that's being published by Deep Silver, which is owned by Soap. But they already have my money, so I can't really change it now, so.
And at least Deep Silver did not get your money directly. It's like through the partnership well after your money was used for stuff.
And I also can't really fault Deep Silver on this one, because, yeah, it's like
No.
Deep Silver is another publishing arm of the same company, and they were probably like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, I saw, I think Coffee Stain Studios is also owned by THQ Nordic, who basically on Twitter was basically saying, we have nothing to do with any of the stuff that's going on. So please do not blame us for anything. Yeah, here it is. Through their satisfactory account on Twitter, Hi, for absolutely no reason at all, I thought it'd be a great idea to share the THQ Nordic company structure that I didn't just whip up and paint 5 minutes ago. Please note that there are 2 8 THQ Nordics. It has like THQ Nordic AB, Daddy, going to Koch Media, which is they label as sibling that moved away when I was young, but I hear they're doing well. Coffee Stain, me, THQ Nordic GmbH, apparently hangs out at 8 on 8chan sometimes. And also says on this thing very official information, so.
Yeah. Well, Coffee Stains is great, and I'm sure
Yeah.
they'll probably have another Goat Simulator game that could probably make use of this.
Yeah, though I think they're working on Satisfactory, which is the weird factory simulation game.
Yeah,
That
which
was...
I actually like the look of, so
Yeah.
can't actually can't wait to play that because it looks ridiculous. So that's our THQ Nordic update for this week. Don't really think the story's over yet, but we'll be
Oh.
following as it goes. Okay, so yeah, jumping back up to the top, we
Now for a much lighter topic.
yeah, so remember that whole Valve's whole hands-off approach to publishing on Steam?
Yeah.
Apparently, maybe a game called Rape Day is a little bit too much.
Well, if you look at the actual material and stuff, it's pretty obvious what the intention of this was. It was specifically meant to push the limits of what Valve was willing to tolerate. It's legit a troll game.
Yeah, I believe I saw their site, the developer's site, was basically saying, well, violence and sex has been sort of normalized through has been normalized, but rape is not. It's like there's a reason why.
Yeah, because rape is not normal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is one of those type of visual novels. It's supposed to be set post-apocalyptic, and from what I can tell, the whole rape aspect is not the main focus of it, but it is something you could do.
I mean, they named their game after it.
Yeah, so if that wasn't what you were kind of wanting to focus on, maybe you shouldn't name your game Rape Day.
It's like if you
Also,
named
some
your
of
game.
those I can tell you this, from some of those screenshots, some of those are clearly pre-made assets.
Well,
So,
yeah.
yeah,
But.
it's like if you named your game GT like Grand Theft Auto and you had no cars in it. It's like, well, probably shouldn't have named it that. If that wasn't a big focus of your game.
Yeah, so
And the Steam, the message that Valve put out is pretty dumb.
yeah, they
Let's
used
see.
the word reactionary, which I don't think was the word they should have used.
Yeah, let's see. It's much of our policy around what we distribute is and must be reactionary. And what they think they meant reactive. We simply have to wait and see what comes to us via Steam Direct. We then have to make a judgment about any risk it puts to Valve, our developer partners, and our customers. After significant fact-finding and discussion, we think Rape Day poses unknown costs and risks and therefore won't be on Steam. We respect developers' desire to express themselves, and the purpose of Steam is to help developers find an audience, but does developer has chosen content matter and a way of representing it that makes it very difficult for us to help them do that.
Yeah, so
They're
do
like,
any of you guys buy what Steam is saying right now?
and they're just using very broad language, like there might be some lawsuits or something. We
Yeah.
don't know.
It's basically they're using very broad corporate legalese to try and make it, give it as soft a blow as possible.
Not be like,
Honest.
we detest this.
Yeah.
Or it's something
For
that goes
me.
against our rules.
Well, the problem is you don't actually tell us what your rules are, so it's kind of hard to do that. I mean, GOG, they're very good at curating their stuff. Nintendo, very curated. Microsoft, very curated. Sony, mostly curated. Some stuff gets on there that probably shouldn't, but that's for other reasons. Quality, not necessarily subject matter. But Valve just doesn't seem to want to put in the effort to do their jobs.
At least in a preliminary fashion. Versus this thing gets onto a page on Steam and it starts getting promoted before its launch. And everybody's like, what the fuck? I was like, whoopsie.
Yeah.
This game might have some issues. We're not going to tell you or anybody that it might actually be violating rules. We'll just say, sorry. We're not letting them out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they used to have guidelines, and then they just decided they don't want to mess with that anymore. So, yeah. The more I look at Steam, the more I kind of avoid it when I'm trying to... When I'm looking to buy PC games, not PlayStation games, because there's only one place to buy those.
Mm-hmm. But
nowadays, when I'm buying PC games, I'm not actually going to Steam anymore.
Yeah. And this is where places like GOG, the Epic Game Store, even Origin and Uplay and all that stuff,
yeah,
becomes a pretty good alternate, because most of those games, if they're worth a damn, are going to also be on any of those platforms. And if you want the weird experimental stuff that nobody really pays attention to, like, there's itch.io.
Yeah.
That's like the great place for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can also get retro games on there, like stuff for the C64 and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Itch.io is great. And a lot of that stuff is, you know, just developers throwing stuff up there just to, you know.
And a lot of our like in progress stuff.
Yeah.
But there are also plenty of like legit indies that are on there too.
Yeah. So,
cuz it's kind of like how Humble does their like bundles, like, hey, you can dictate how much of this goes to, you know, Humble or the developer or, you know, whatever charities they're attached to, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's like a core part of their way you purchase games there.
Yeah. So that's cool. But yeah, I'm thinking now, the longer that Valve waits to actually put in clear guidelines and stick to them, the more that I think they undermine their own platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lovely. And it's not just, you know, it's not just Rape Day. It's just, Valve is doing a really good job at eroding developer confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah.
You so don't much know so what you're going to get.
So much so they're actively taking the risk of going to Epic Games Store, doing deals with him. They're at least up front, like, hey, there's probably not going to be too much on this store when yours comes out.
Yeah.
So you won't have a ton of competition, and it'll be much easier to find your game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Epic also gives revenue guarantees, which is something Steam doesn't.
Yeah. So. And it's like, you go look at like what's coming out on Steam in the near future, it's way more than any normal person can even begin to... comprehend what's going on.
Yeah. Too many games. So that's great. We do have some actual like fun news to talk about. Nintendo is doing another Labo kit, and this is going to be a VR kit for the Switch. You're going to get phone level VR basically with the Nintendo Switch, which I guess is okay for some folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very much going to be on par with like the Google Cardboard kind of VR. Not just because it's also using cardboard, but because the Switch isn't that powerful.
Yeah.
It's not going to have like the full-fledged games that we see on PSVR and Vive and Rift.
Yeah.
It's going to be like specific little mini games, probably on par with what the other Labo kits have had. But I do love the promotional image they have with the kid shoving his face into a bird's ass. Have you noticed that bottom left one? which I saw a good joke. It's like, well, what if you pulled that face away and there's a white splotch on your face?
Yeah, the elephant doesn't look all that appealing either.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But like, here's the main thing though. I mean, like, as cool as people might think this could be, there's a common thing with all these images here, and it's the kids shoving the boxes in their face. So there's no way to actually keep it on. So if people are really looking for an immersive experience, they're not going to get it with this.
No.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to offer that kind of experience.
Yeah.
I guess very much just going to be kind of like
it's a viewfinder is all it is.
Yeah, ViewMaster kind of thing. It's a cool idea. I mean, it does at least kind of provide the basic fundamentals of VR. And I guess if a kid is kind of interested in this, well, then maybe they want to go further later on.
Yeah.
But there's also the risk that somebody sees this and it's like, well, is this all that virtual reality is? And never go further. So,
yeah,
that's the risk you run as well.
Yeah, the prices seem to be a little bit more reasonable. It's about $40 for the starter kit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get the bundle with all of it, it's $80.
Yeah.
Which at least seems to have like maybe more utility to it than what the original Labo kits had.
Mm.
Where a lot of that stuff was just kind of, here, make this big elaborate thing and then use it to play piano.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the thing you put your Switch into. And it kind of makes it into like a ViewMaster kind of thing, which seems pretty neat way to use it for this stuff. Let's see, it's going to be out April 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't going to be like, oh, they got a new platform for VR.
No, it's just a fun viewer.
Yeah.
Labo has actually done pretty well for Nintendo, so
yeah.
At least they're still supporting it. So.
Yeah, I don't know how well they've really done, but the fact that they're still supporting it definitely says something.
Oh, and
I'll tell you what, I'm actually more legitimately interested in this than what they showed before. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
maybe if they had started with this, it probably would have done better. But whatever.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see what Nintendo VR looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What sort of ideas they have?
Yeah, could be cool. Let's see, moving on. Okay, so Days Gone has just gone gold. It's coming out the 26th of April. About freaking time.
Yeah.
Wondering when that.
How long has that game been in development?
Four years?
A few years, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Sony doesn't like to show release dates until they really have a release date, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It definitely looks a lot better than it did a few years ago, though. Like, I saw some
preview
builds, and it looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, this won't be one of Sony's big. No, wait, never mind. I was going to say this won't be one of Sony's big E3 games, but Sony's not at E3. So,
It doesn't matter.
That kind of leaves, I think, in the big studios that they have, Ghost of Tsushima. It's probably their next big one that is still yet to come out.
And then we got Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
And Death Stranding.
Yeah.
That's the other one.
Death Stranding's not coming out this year. Just put that out there.
That's not a game, though.
I don't know what that is, and maybe at some point we'll understand what that is. I think it's like a post-apocalyptic like courier simulator or something, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's good looking,
mm-hmm.
but weird. So
yeah.
Another Nintendo news. Yeah, this month's online offerings for the NES on the Switch Online service were another two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're pulling a game room on this thing where we got three games a month for the first few months. Now this year we've only been getting two in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing is, so one of them is, let's see, it's Kid Icarus and Star Tropics. That latter one never came out in Japan. So you might think, oh, so Japan's going to get two games then this month. No, they get a special game as a bonus fill-in. So they're getting Kid Icarus, they're getting Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, and mm-hmm. the Blade of Light, and Ye Are Kung Fu.
Oh, well, that's not such a great consolation prize.
Nope.
Yeah. But yeah, it's and also I don't know if it's out yet. I'm not sure what the date is for this one. A 13th, okay. So it'll be interesting to see if you can actually play Star Tropics, because it needs the manual specifically
I'm
to get
pretty
through.
sure you can just go online and find the
Yeah.
secret for that.
Yeah. Well, they'll
Yeah.
probably have like what they usually did with the classic systems is they just have a QR code that you snap and then you get a scan of the manual.
Yeah, but all
But
their manual stuff is on the site.
yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they just put up a corrected version of that.
Yeah, probably will because I don't anticipate that dunking your let your switch or whatever device you're using to look at that letter into water would probably be a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what you had to do.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
just weird that, oh, hey, this thing people have been asking for since they started going down to tube games is like, hey, give us a filler. And they're like, no, but Japan, hey, we'll help you out.
Yeah.
Because you're missing out on Star Tropics.
Yeah, I don't think Nintendo's taking this seriously at all.
Yeah.
It's they're very willing to go up against ROM sites and take them down, but they're not willing to offer any real compelling alternative to it.
Yeah. And not offer like a consistent
Yeah.
offering, because it feels like they must not be getting too much third party interest in it.
Yeah.
If they're, it took like 3 or 4 months for them to stop being able to offer three games, three Western games a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Whereas
even
Japan.
still, Nintendo has such a huge backlog, they could just dump all of them on there.
Yeah.
But they don't want to do that either, so.
Yeah, because it seems likely that they're going to have Super Nintendo at some point. And it's like
Yeah.
maybe they need to trickle it out until they have that ready to actually put up there. And then none of
Yeah.
this really makes sense as a
Well,
result.
no, it just, yeah. It's just Nintendo being n typically Nintendo and just not getting what their customers actually want.
Yeah, because it's like the
So.
NES stuff was pretty big news as far as like being a part of this offering.
Yeah.
But they're not treating it like it's actually a big thing.
Yeah. At least the games like don't rotate out, they're just there.
Yeah.
So there is that. So depending on when you do get in, you're gonna get a pretty decent library. It's just they're not being added to as quickly as we would probably like.
Yeah. And I don't know, some of these titles are not ones that are conducive for people that never played them before. A lot of them don't age well. I imagine Kid Icarus is probably a nightmare for anybody just trying it out now. They are doing some smart things with like the special edition offers, where they have like a special version that's essentially just has a like a specific save point that's
Yeah.
queued up for you to show you like neat parts of the game or hidden
Yeah.
stuff. But yeah, I kind of wish their system was set up so that that was just a native part of the regular releases.
Yeah, so you could just, yeah.
Because you can save like 4 save points, I think, per game. And if like 2 of those were like these special things,
Yeah.
that would be pretty cool. It's like, oh, hey, there's some stuff here.
Yeah,
And
or
maybe some
just
different.
have like those special things off to the side where you have your four normal slots and then you have these
Yeah.
special highlight slots that they could have,
Yeah. It's like, hey, if you want to learn more about like what late game is in Dr. Mario, like, hey, here's some neat stuff to show you.
How to get your ass kicked to Dr. Mario. Load this save
Yeah.
state. Yeah. So, yeah, we're not enthused about Nintendo's latest offerings, looks
Nope.
like. Yeah. Well, we might be enthused about Judgment, which is coming out June 25th. This is the Yakuza spin-off.
Yep. Which is even more of a tied into Yakuza than I thought from what I've read from people that have played it recently, which is that it's set in
Kamurocho.
Kamurocho. And your guy was formerly a What was he? He was a lawyer,
Mm-hmm.
specifically working for the police, and sort of ended up getting a guy off of charges for murder that soon after ended up actually killing a guy. So he kind of
Wow.
gets weirdly blacklisted out of his job and ends up becoming like a private detective. And then this is him, like his adventures doing this. And I know he talks about one his buddy is former Tojo, Yakuza guy, and so yeah, it has a lot more tie-ins to that stuff than you might think. It also has dual audio, so
English
that'll
and
be
Japanese.
pretty cool. And they're doing a lot better than like the original Yakuza, or then they just got big names that were just big names, not really great voice actors or anything like that added to it. Because having a bunch of white people voice Japanese characters, it's not always the greatest thing.
No.
And so they got much more appropriate voice actors for this. And a little bit I've seen is pretty good.
So that's cool.
Yeah. One of the things I love about the Yakuza series is that it gives you a really good sort of idea of what it's like to live actually as part of that particular lifestyle, both the good and the strong negatives that go with it. Because you're basically, it tells you sort of like how the Yaku it teaches you basically how the Yakuza works. How a person gets involved, what they do, the type of rackets that they run, the various rituals and stuff, how they get all tied up and stuff with, major corporations and politicians and stuff. It's I mean, freaking, who's the current Prime Minister of Japan?
Abe.
Yeah, he kind of sort of makes a I mean, it doesn't directly show you it's him, but it's pretty strongly implied it's him in the ending of the last Yakuza. It's good stuff. Definitely worth playing.
What I like about the Yakuza games is it's not just that it gives you the whole good and bad part of the Yakuza, but also the mundane stuff as well. It's like a real slice of life, but presented in a way that's actually really fun to play.
I mean, it gives you a pretty good idea of what it's like to be an average person in Japan. Just the way stuff operates over there.
And a lot of weird shit on top of it. Lots of weird characters and all that, and
And you could beat people up, take their money, and then go play arcade games. So that's always a
oh
plus.
yeah.
That's what else we got here? I turned off my PS4, yesterday, and there was an update, and it adds remote play for iOS devices, which is something that they had been talking about for a little while, but now it's finally available.
The only issue is pretty much an Apple issue, which is you can't attach that many controllers to it. It's what MFi is the specific type of controller. So yeah, you can't use a DualShock 4 or anything like that. There's a little bit of workaround in that you essentially create a second user on your PS4 and you have them use the remote play. Then use your DualShock 4, and you have to be in range of your PS4 by Wi-Fi, and so you're essentially playing it over remote play, but just the remote play is just viewing what was going on the PS4.
Which kind of defeats the purpose of doing that.
It's a really dumb restriction that iOS has, so it makes me really want to see them do this on Android, where you can attach whatever. As long as it's Bluetooth.
I think that's in the works.
Because it's already out for Xperia phones, but people have been waiting for them to just make it widely available. But yeah,
that's irritating, but yeah, that's kind of cool. As far as the other updates go, not a whole heck of a lot. Stability fixes, and
Switch the circle and X buttons in regions where circle is essentially the confirmation button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a thing. And also, Duango still exists. So that's nice to know. what else have we got here? So E3 news. EA is not going to have a traditional event again this year.
Once again, E3's relevance begins to decrease.
Yeah, they're not going to do press conference, but they're going to do some stuff.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to essentially be doing a series of live streams. Mm-hmm. For each of the games. And weirdly enough, this all, their whole event, they're doing a 3-day event, their EA Play thing. And that's all going to finish up before E3 starts properly. It's going to be Friday through Sunday, essentially.
It's possible they're not even going to show.
Yeah, they're not actually on the show floor. They just have their own offsite event.
Yeah.
So they're just going to have that where people can go and play stuff. And also tune into the streams to learn more about, like, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Mm-hmm. I assume each of their sports games, maybe the new Need for Speed and Plants for Zombies stuff that's rumored.
Yeah.
Or that they've said.
Command and Conquer and whatever else they may be doing.
Yeah. Mm. And so it'll be, like, a couple hours for each stream. Mm. Sort of play it, talk to people, do whatever announcements they're going to do, so they're going to stretch it out a bit more, but... they get it all in on their own terms, so.
Mm. Yep, and the ESA's business model is going away very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, EA is like one of the major, well, they are one of the major publishers, one of the last ones who are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're kind of backing away, which leaves Ubisoft and Activision. Yeah, so what else? Pretty soon it's just going to be the Microsoft show.
Mm-hmm.
And
Microsoft, Ubisoft, and Nintendo will play their video, push play on their video.
Yeah.
I'll stream it.
Yeah. I think E3's days are pretty much numbered. I would be very surprised if there was even one announced for 2020.
Yeah, it's true.
I like how at the time I can finally go consistently, it's pretty much dead.
Yeah. It's like, great. That's awesome. But that doesn't mean that there won't be other things that show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I am interested in seeing how the main part of the floor will look like. Because normally, like, the area in between Microsoft and Sony is a huge photo op. But, like, now it's, what the fuck's going to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could double down on indies if they really wanted to.
Fortnite.
So, yeah, well, Fortnite, but yeah, that's not going to last forever. So we got some interesting news from the NES front, actually. So there was an unannounced Sega wrestling game called UWC, which prototype cartridge of just kind of surfaced.
Wow.
Today. Well, not today. It was a couple of days ago. Yeah, there's a Reddit thread there. There's also a video that's linked off so you can see it. And nobody had any idea that this game was even coming. And that I've been watching the video and it's like, yeah, that's old school 80s wrestling, all right.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of interesting is that it had like the Road Warriors in there. You had Sting, you had Bobby Eaton, you had Ric Flair. It could have been interesting, but I don't know why it never came out.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty decent for an NES game.
All right.
Good.
Yeah. The guy who has the cartridge says he's not holding it hostage. Just going to figure out how I actually want to distribute it. And it's going public. So, yeah, he's not holding on to it. They'll probably do repro cartridges, maybe. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Retrobit might want to do that. But there might be licensing issues. So he might just end up just releasing the file somewhere. So, yeah. Well, like the SimCity prototype, it ended up on archive.org, so probably you'll be able to find it there as well at some point. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I will download it and play it when it comes out, and we'll know more later.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, who knew? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, anyway. So there was
a pretty polished prototype, too.
Yeah, well, it was finished. It was actually complete.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was never announced. It was never released. But the game was completely finished. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there it is, and it's coming. So Friday, we got an Anthem patch, yep. Which apparently changed a couple of things for the better, maybe?
Yeah, it basically changed the nature of the loot drops.
Oh.
To be completely honest, I can't tell you from experience exactly what the difference is, because, you know, as soon as I started playing the game, I sort of took every chance I could to start upgrading and crafting stuff. Yeah. So at the point I'm at now, I'm not sure if it's like the loot is any stronger now than it was originally. But for whatever reason, some people are okay with it. Others are really, really pissed off about it.
Yeah, that's internet for you.
Yeah, and it's also just the nature of this game anyway. Because
yeah,
and it seems like they also got rid of the warping stuff, where if you managed to get separated from your party for long enough, it would just warp you ahead.
Yeah.
Because it would just happen because one person is just zooming along past everything else while the other people are like actually trying to play the game.
One other feature they added now is that if you don't have to physically go over to your javelin anymore to start an expedition now. You can just hold down the triangle button. Well, hold down one of the buttons for PS4's triangle.
Yeah, that's good, because having to sit there and watch the getting in the suit animation.
Well, I mean, you can skip that.
Yeah. Like, going through that and then waiting for the menu to pull up. Then having to go through that and wait for it to do all that stuff. Especially if you're, like, the last thing you do is, like, on the other side of Fort Tarsus. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I gotta run all the way back, and I can play the game again.
Yep.
Yeah. So it looks like they're making improvements. Yeah, they're fixing bugs by the looks of it.
Yeah, they are.
Seems to be a little less crashy now.
And again, I gotta hand it to BioWare, because pretty much since day one, they've been hammering away at those bugs. So
yeah,
yeah, it helps that people have been playing it.
Yeah,
for a week before that.
Yeah, I mean, for the record, also, as far as playing, I mean, it's been one of the top 10 most played games on Xbox, so...
Yeah.
And it's doing really well on PlayStation, too, so...
Yeah.
You know, it's doing good.
Yeah, it's doing good. In spite of everything. Yes. And some of the people who are saying, like, yeah, nobody should play this game. There's nothing to do in this game, and nobody should ever play it. You okay? Apparently, there's enough people who find stuff to do that are finding it enjoyable. Yep. So, yeah, whatever.
It's true.
Yeah. Because we talked about the Diablo thing already, I'm just going to make this our last story. Octopath Traveler is getting a mobile prequel. As you guys know, Octopath Traveler was one of the top games on Smash Pad for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to be able to get a little bit more insight into the characters.
On a completely different platform.
Yeah. And yet plays exactly like the other one.
Yeah.
At least now it will. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens when Square Enix really gets in there and keeps adding more stuff to it.
Right.
Because it's going to be free to play for now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might be adding more stuff and then charge you to keep playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yeah, and apparently you can use all 8 characters in battle, which sounds like a clusterfuck, but we'll see.
Yeah.
At least solves the issue of just finding your 4-person squad and then never upgrading the others. Which is the well, eternal JRPG here... issue of like, okay, do you guys give XP to the other people that aren't in? No? Fuck.
Well, fuck that.
I gotta find my party, and we're sticking with that for the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you could use all eight characters at once, then, you know, then you get into the mindset of, okay, how can I completely break the battle system?
Yep. Yeah. Do they throw in up to eight enemies at once?
Yeah. Because, I mean, already with Ulbricht, you can pretty much break the game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's true.
Can I pay $10 to go up 50 levels?
You probably will be able to. This is a Square Enix game. So.
And, yeah. Which makes you wonder, like, did they just make Octopath Traveler so they had a new mobile game they could exploit?
No, I just kind of think Octopath Traveler did well enough that they decided to just spin it off
into something. I hope this eventually comes back to Switch, because that would be nice.
Yeah.
I think it actually... They just didn't have time to do, like, a really big one or something.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. If you ask me, they have all the time in the world. We're not asking for it next year.
No. So, this might also be something to entice people to get a Switch. It'd be like a kind of a bite-sized thing where it's like, if you like all these characters and you like this narrative, well, maybe you want to get a Switch and play the full game. Some very interesting possibilities there. Wonder if they do character like tie-ins or something where the experience and stuff you get in the mobile game could transfer over to your main game at some point.
So, it'd be nice.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, this is Square Enix we're talking about.
Well, they have done that sort of thing in the past, but not with their mobile games, but so I think that's pretty much it for this week. It's been a very kind of slow news week, really. Don't know why. I guess people are too busy playing Anthem or Dead or Alive or whatever
getting
else.
Mad at Anthem.
Or playing Metro Exodus and not coming up for air. There's some people there. At any rate,
for the record, by the way, I played all of Metro Exodus. It's a great. It's a good game. Play it.
Did you find that they had a little bit of the Eurojank in there?
Oh yeah, they did, definitely.
Yeah.
Though for the record, as far as Eurojank goes, this is probably some of the most refined Eurojank I've ever experienced. Because the glitches I did encounter were not like game or world breaking.
Yeah.
Also, I found the desiccated corpse of Gordon Freeman underground, so that also helps.
Okay. So, with that, I'd like to remind you guys that if you haven't subscribed to the show, what are you waiting for? You can do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. You can also check us out at smashpad.com, where we have our written content, and expect to see some stuff showing up there soon. For Brandon Perkins, Chris Sologi, and Dan Reb Victorio, I'm Filippo Donolfo, and we'll see you next week.
Update complete.
Peace.